The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler, this is Red Eye Radio.
It's Mark Eisler back with you again on Red Eye Radio. It was a real pleasure talking with you last night, and I look forward to the rest of the week. I was also on with you back in September for a full week, and it is a pleasure to be back with you again for this week, filling in for Gary and Eric. For those of you who don't know me, I also have been filling in on another network show for over a decade now, and I also have had my own successful local shows in Los Angeles, including one on Westwood One's affiliate in Los Angeles, 790 KVC. So I'd love to hear from those who listen to me then and everyone else at 866-90-RED-EYE. And you can keep in touch with me and see where I am on the air next on my webpage of the MarkEislerShow.com, where you can email me, follow me on Facebook or Twitter, or leave me a message with a question or a comment that I can respond to on the show. And for those that don't want to go there, the easiest way is to email me, which I got some yesterday, MarkEisler@AOL.com, MarkEisler@AOL.com. And I'm spoiled on my network. Other network show, people are already calling me before I say anything, so feel free to do that. You don't always have to wait. Last night we talked about, if you didn't hear it, we talked about the civil war we are now experiencing in this country between the left and the right, in my opinion, for the soul of our country. We also talked about how Justice Kavanaugh hearings were really not about his qualifications, but a continuation of that battle. When you understand that, it puts it in a little better perspective. It didn't matter who President Trump was going to nominate. They were against him. In fact, they announced that. If you remember, the placards of the protesters, I don't even think they had a name on it. I don't know if they had an X or what they had, but it didn't matter. It was all about making sure that the president couldn't appoint his choice, let alone a conservative. And the chief aim of that battle is to remove President Trump from office. The left and the Democrats and the media, that's all the same, as I've pointed out before, never accepted his victory. And they're doing everything possible to undermine it. That seems pretty obvious. So in this segment, I want to talk about what I said this last night, what a great job President Trump has done during his time in office, despite the best efforts of the left. Now, I've said for months now, I could care less about what he says and much more in what he does. And in fact, that's I guess it makes me a behavioralist. That's how I feel about people. You know, they may say awful things about you or to others, but if they treat you well, I think that's what counts. Now, his tweets have not always helped, and he's answered people he shouldn't. That seems obvious to me. And engaged with people beneath his position to his detriment. I don't think he gets that. That certain people, that's what I do, and I think I'm right. I ignore people that aren't worth my time. Well, what's the point? You're not going to get anywhere anyway. But I never expected him to govern in such a conservative way. In fact, I think he said, I'm not a conservative. I think he said that at some point. He's far surpassed my expectations for him. I must admit, he was not my first choice in the primary season. I got a, what do they call that, full disclosure. I was a Ted Cruz delegate, and I was pretty sure he was going to make it, or at least a lot of his people told me he was and showed me all the numbers. Well, I guess that didn't work out. And in my initial judgment, I thought Trump was only better than John Kasich. Now, that's not saying much, because Kasich is really a Democrat and becoming more so, I think, with time. But I've long since admitted that far from being the worst choice or the second worst choice for president, he may have very well been the only Republican that could have won. That dawned on me at one point. This is the only guy I think that would have won that election. In fact, I've wondered out loud if Providence was involved in his election. After all, Obama had done, you know, what did he say? He was going to radically change our country. And I thought it might have been too late for America if Hillary had won. I once asked Bruce Hershenson, for those who don't know who he is, he ran for the Senate against Barbara Boxer, her first time she ran. And I became his, and I think they told me, his chief surrogate spokesman. I would speak for him when he couldn't make an event. And he was poised to win. It was 50-50, I think, the weekend before. And then I'm just thinking about it aloud. The Democrats have always, this has been in their playbook. I said that last night. They saved this thing against him that he'd gone to some kind of club. He said, if you knew Bruce Harrison, he's such an innocent guy. He didn't go there for anything to do with sex or anything like that. It was just a place they were going at. In fact, he was going, I can say this because it came out, with one of the hosts at KBC, where I used to be a host, and 790 KBC. And it was just, they said, oh, you want to go here, Bruce? And he said, yes. And it was meant to spring it on him the last weekend, sound familiar, with Dianne Feinstein, to try to show conservative voters, oh, look what he was willing to do, to go to an unseemly nightclub, to put it that way. See, I just thought of that myself. Now, they've always had this in their playbook. Nothing's new. But anyway, he lost that weekend. And one of the reasons people said he lost was because, if you remember, George H. Bush had pulled out of California, I think, in that election that he lost to Clinton, and he pulled out all his funds, and then they used all of that to make sure Boxer won. But it was 50-50 before that weekend, and they pulled those dirty tricks. But he's a brilliant man, and I once asked Bruce Hershenson, by the way, he worked for Richard Nixon, and I think he said this on the air so I could say it. He was one of the few that said, don't resign, don't give this thing up. You remember, some people think Nixon was impeached. He wasn't impeached. He withdrew for the sake of the country, even though a lot of people thought Richard Nixon was pretty bad. But Bruce said, I went with him there, and I tried to convince him not to resign, but he said, no, we're going to do it for the sake of the country. Anyway, I asked Bruce once, who almost beat Barbara Boxer for the U.S. Senate from California, if he thought God was involved in the founding of our country. Bruce always taught me something whenever he was on. And he answered, of course. Did you ever think how young the founders were and how they got almost everything right? And was it also providence, I would ask myself, that we got George Washington when we needed him so badly? Remember, they wanted to make him king, if you know your history, and he turned it down and, you know, said, I'm going to retire. The president is okay. That's enough. And Abraham Lincoln and Ronald Reagan when we needed them most? You wouldn't get any argument from me about God's involvement. And now I think, you're going to think, some of you are going to think I'm crazy. We got Donald Trump with all his personal shortcomings when the country needed him most. That's all I'm going to say. You know, providence, I don't know. But you wouldn't get any argument from me. Yes, he won. And I was a strong supporter of his during the general election. Of course, that doesn't say much either, considering who he was running against, right? And remember, many of us thought we would be very satisfied if President Trump would just nominate conservative judges. That was enough, especially for the Supreme Court. We all, or a lot of the people I knew, thought, hey, that would work for me. That's enough right there. And I think a lot of people across the country felt that way. So I thought we were way ahead of the game when he appointed Judge Gorsuch to the U.S. Supreme Court. But he didn't stop there. And I'll just mention some of them things he's done. I mentioned a bit much bigger list last night. Ending the Obamacare mandate. Opening up the Keystone Pipeline. Remember, Obama wouldn't do it. And Anwar reserves. Ending countless regulations hurting the economy. And the proof is how well the economy is doing. A significant tax cut, lowering our taxes, and simplifying the tax forms. By the way, it was Bruce Hershenson, the same one I mentioned, who years before his time said we should be able to fill out our tax returns on a postcard. And then everybody copied him years later. And that is eventually where they want to go with this. Moving of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, getting us out of the Paris Peace Accords, withdrawing from the disastrous Iranian deal. I didn't talk much about that last night. Can you imagine we paid them hundreds of billions of dollars, $150 billion under Obama, but gave them secret cash on a plane, which he denied. Paid them off for what? They're our biggest enemy. Do you feel like I do, that I live on a different planet? I mean, don't you feel that way? Our biggest enemies, or at least the ones killing our soldiers right now, we give them money to aid them to hurt us and hurt our people? That alone, I mean, is incredible. 866-90-RED. I want to know what you think about the Iranian deal is incredible. 866, same number, 907-3339. Meeting with Kim Il-sung to possibly reduce the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Getting American remains returned from North Korea. Making sure our borders mean something. I admit that hasn't been solved yet. We're going to talk, we didn't last night, about the march of people from Honduras up to request asylum. That's going to be a winning situation for him to deal with, and I'm saying that obviously sarcastically. Appointing countless conservative justices to the lower courts. Now, Right. You watch federal judges in the, you know, the Ninth District, which is the crazy district who gets overturned the most, saying things like, you know, the president can't do this, he can't do that. It's a Muslim ban and all this kind of stuff, and they've taken power in their own hands. Well, it's important that he appoints these lower court federal judges, too. And, of course, the naming now of his second Supreme Court choice, another conservative, Brett Kavanaugh. The list goes on and on. And the American people love that he's not politically correct. The American people are tired of all those politicians who spin and spin and spin and are afraid to say what they're really thinking. So maybe he does too much. But at least you get people love his honesty, or at least he says what he means. You can never say that about President Trump, that he doesn't say what he means. He may say too much, but he never says too little. I came up with that one. He is one of the most conservative presidents in my lifetime. He's done a great job. And most of the American people get it. But it doesn't matter to the left or to Democrats or the comrades in the media. I'm afraid to tell the left, the Democrats, and liberal listeners, although call me, let me know what you think. And I said last night, I better say it softly. If the presidential election were held today, President Trump would easily be reelected. He has kept most of his promises, and the American people appreciate that. And he is resonating with the American people more than ever. And I don't know if you feel the same way. I think each day he's becoming more and more presidential. He's growing into the job. If you remember, Harry Truman replaced FDR, and people said awful things. I teach government history, too, so I know some of this stuff. And they said, he's going to be awful and terrible. But they said Truman grew into the job also. You are dreaming, by the way, if you think he's going to be defeated. I just want to tell you guys out there on the other side. You have failed to get rid of him, but not from lack of trying. You started the day he won. That is so obvious now. Actually, we know they started the resistance against him much before Election Day. But once Election Day came, they couldn't believe that this so-called bumbling fool had won. All right, he was so bumbling, but he still won, right? No matter what the upper elite or of the FBI and the Justice Department may have guaranteed, right? We've seen the text between Page and Strzok and all that stuff. He won. I don't know about you, but I was teaching at that time at night, and I was almost in tears when I heard he won Pennsylvania, which was always seemed to me like Republicans' fool's goal. You know, we're going to win it this time. We're going to win Pennsylvania. We got it down. And not only did he win, but despite their best efforts, he won. He is still here, and he's going to be here for 6.5 more years, no matter the Mueller persecution. Prosecution. It's still persecution to me. No matter the hostile media, no matter the never-Trumpers, which I can never understand them, no matter all the elites in the swamp, President Trump is still here, which never should have happened according to them. And despite their best efforts to destroy him, including getting a special prosecutor appointed. And I fault Attorney General Sessions for that. I'm going to talk about that more later. He should never have recused himself. He played into the Democrats' hands. Politicians typically talk to our adversaries. That's not a big deal. Hillary talks to them. Many have talked to the Russians, including Obama. Do you remember Obama promising off mic that things would be better when he got reelected, that he could, you know, make more stuff happen? I've been a big supporter of Sessions when he was a senator, but I'm disappointed in his job as Attorney General and disappointed in his lack of oversight of Rosenstein, but more of that later. Sessions should have made amends by firing Rosenstein, especially if he threatened congressional staffers. Did you hear that? He threatened them as they helped their bosses conduct oversight. And just as disappointing, by the way, is the new FBI director, almost nonchalant attitude about corruption in his agency. That amazes me. This has all gotten way out of hand. And it is clear to many people by now that Mueller's investigation is a witch hunt in search of a crime. If anything, there was a soft coup to get rid of President Trump perpetrated by the highest echelons of our government at the Justice Department and at the FBI. And I'm not sure until all the dust is settled, this is my prediction, if we won't find President Obama's fingerprints all over this. You wait and see. We were never supposed to find out about the subterfuge because Hillary was supposed to win. Right? Her champagne and her celebration, there was a big boat, the celebration was supposed to happen in New York City. They were waiting for Her Majesty. Only one thing, it never happened. Donald Trump crashed that party, and they're never going to forgive him for that. And all of it would have been swept under the rug. But she didn't win, and that's where this tyranny and this resistance started, if not sooner. The swamp must be drained by President Trump, and this must never be allowed to happen again. It's time to free President Trump from this distraction. I want to know what you think. It's time to free the American people from this distraction. It is time to free all the defendants Mueller has so far named in this witch hunt, like Michael Flynn. That never should have happened. He didn't even know he was being under investigation, I don't think, at the time. It's all part of the resistance, and it's got to end. Let me tell you, and I want to go on, but I want to get your calls, what I thought about President Obama. We never did what these people did. So let me know what you think. 866-90-RED-EYE, 866, same thing, 907-3339. It's Mark Eisler filling in on Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Mark Eisler back with you again. You can reach me at 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. I was just saying to my producer, Brian, that as I get more comfortable, you're getting to know me better, and you're getting more comfortable with me, as this is my second go-around filling in for Gary and Eric. And you have some great calls up there. Let's go to Jake in Quantico, Virginia. You're on with Mark. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Real well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, the point I just wanted to make is what you mentioned about all the good that the commander-in-chief was doing with moving the embassy to Jerusalem, recognizing conservative values of nation of laws, with wanting to build the wall and all that, despite of his personal shortcomings. I think a lot of times we can see with the recent interview that he did when he was asked a lot of those hard questions along with the First Lady, that we can overlook a lot of these things despite his personal shortcomings of infidelity and such like that. He still is fighting for these conservative values, appointing these Supreme Court justices, like you were noting about Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. What is something that you would think would be something that would be condemnation, let's say, in 2020, the next election, if something came out? You know, fighting against someone like Hillary Clinton in the last election with, you know, her personal server and breaking that sort of security law in that regard, being part of the deep state, having someone, what's something that you see might come up that would be the next battle that he's going to fight in the upcoming election?
Well, I'll tell you what's going to be the next battle. I don't know if you heard last night. We may very well, I hope we don't, but people were cheering me up last night, and I tend to be an optimist, that we might lose the House, because every race stands on its own. And I know some races here in California that I never thought would happen, like Dean Rohrabacher. I mentioned his name, and I know him, and he's in trouble because they're spending millions of dollars. So if the Democrats take back the House, Jake, you're going to see hearings, you're going to see subpoenas, you're going to see the attempt to impeach President Trump and Kavanaugh and make these next 2 years worse than the hearings for Judge Kavanaugh. That's the biggest fear I have. And we got to be very careful. Great call. Thanks so much, Jake. And now we go to your national forecast for Cobra Electronics.
We've seen the past couple of nights some freezing rain in the area of western Oklahoma, northern Texas, northeastern New Mexico, and southeastern Colorado. But that will likely not be the case today because the moisture source providing that freezing rain has moved off to the east, and warmer weather. For South Texas, we'll see heavy showers today. Those will extend through the Ark-La-Tex region down into New Orleans. Areas hard hit by Hurricane Michael. Not necessarily going to be associated with any rain from this front, but could see a pop-up shower or two. Looking for rain for the Mid-Atlantic today, all the way up into the Northeast for New York City and Boston. So that leaves a good portion of the country dry today. The Midwest, the Northern and Central Plains, the Rockies, Pacific Northwest, and West Coast, all under high pressure and clear skies today. There's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
And I'm Mark Eisler. I would love to hear your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler.
Yeah, that music is kind of the best one I've heard so far, but no one ever asks me what music I like, unless it was my show, which was many years ago in the past. Let's go. I like the name Mark in Claremont, California, and I like the topic, too. Mark, you're on with Mark.
Hello, but first of all, before my topic, I just want to briefly say, you mentioned Providence. I am personally grateful to Providence that we have a man with a spine who can talk back to the media, because I know the weak sister Jeb Bush would never have done so. He didn't have the guts, and Twitchy Kasich would never have done so either. He has too many ticks, and he was a strange cat. And of course,
still is.
If the American public even knew what Clinton, the damage she would have done, which was been irreparable, we would never have a chance of recovery. So I don't think the American people would, as we speak, have no clue of how lucky we are to have Mr. Trump as president. Now, very briefly, I just want to say that Trump should use this debt of $150 billion that we gave to Iran. Trump could go on the bandstand and say, we could have built Detroit. We could have put millions of black Americans back to work and trained them with that $150 billion. I think he should say that over and over and over again to let the American people know how the Obama administration just frittered that money away, and why they gave it to them, I don't have a clue.
Well, I have a clue. He didn't feel the way we do about who your enemies are and who your friends are, right? He was mean to our friends and really nice to some of our enemies. I like your idea. I think it's a great idea. Imagine if he went around, as you say, in the country on the campaign stump saying, because people got to feel it. You know, they hear $150 billion or whatever, you know, and they don't relate to it. But if they say, hey, we could have rebuilt Detroit, we could have rebuilt, Chicago with the violence, what we could have done here and done there. People can relate to that, but they gave that money away to our enemy. You're right. Yep. I like your idea very much, Mark.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. And now let's go to Pete in Hebron, New Hampshire, if I said that correctly. Pete, you're on with Mark.
Yeah, hi, Mark. That's Hebron, New Hampshire, but that's fine. You know, I haven't called Red Eye in several months now, but anyways, it's a great program, and I try to stay up to catch it here in New Hampshire. The thing that I wonder is that, you know, you see people like Hillary Clinton, of all people, come on television and talk about civility, and you had briefly touched on civility, I believe, yesterday's program.
Yes.
Yep. But what's so amazing, and these people, by now, you'd have to be, they think that we're nothing but a bunch of blind mice, we deplorables. When the truth of the matter is, there's nothing to that at all. That could be further from the truth. The truth of the matter is, and I wonder why people like Hillary Clinton and all the so-called AKA bad actors that they refer to now, why they haven't been handed out subpoenas, and why haven't they gone through the judicial process, the justice system? And I have to wonder that.
I'm going to talk about it later, probably. Well, I'm very disappointed in Jeff Sessions. He showed no guts, no ferocity. What am I thinking of? You know, he's been so weak in his position. I was for him when he was named, but I've been very disappointed in him. And by the way, just to your point about Hillary's civility, I was thinking about this when you were talking, the Secret Service they treated horribly, who would give their life up for them. She especially didn't care what you did then.
Yeah, and you take a look at Joe Biden, you know, swimming naked in the pool and so on and so forth. These people, they're beyond the word despicable, or as Hillary puts it, we deplorables. It's you have to be totally blind or just totally ignorant of the fact that, just look at the facts. And look how far this country's fallen. In 8 years, we had a leader, a previous our president, so-called president, take this country down, and I believe he set the racial relations in our country back 50 years.
I don't know the number of years, Pete, but I agree with you totally. I mean, saying if I had a son, Trayvon Martin, whatever, he'd look like me, always assuming that, you know, that what was the guy's name in the other state? Hands up, don't shoot, all of a sudden that was to be believed. Yeah, Michael Brown.
Michael.
He did set it back, and a lot of people voted for him because he was black, thinking, hey, we're going to show we're not racist and so on. And yet, he you're right. It's worse now. The racial animosity in this country is worse since he was president.
And you know, the most disgusting part of the Michael Brown incident in Ferguson was a simple fact that if you look back and look at the history of it, as the events happened, as everything went down, he walked into, as I recall, a convenience store. He pushed the owner around of the store or the attendant in the store, knocked the attendant down, walked out with a bunch of goodies, and then went on down the middle of the street looking for trouble. And the guy was wired for sound. So,
there were minority witnesses that said it was the way the police officer said, look, you are right on all counts. And remember, Obama, what was it? I don't know how many days before the election said we're going to fundamentally change this country. I have a friend on radio who said, imagine if you said to your wife, when we get married, I'm going to fundamentally change you. I mean, it's insane. And this is the guy we elected as president?
And at the end of the day, as far as the Ferguson incident, it didn't take very long for them to respond. And I'm talking about Eric Holder and Jesse Jackson and Al Charlton. It didn't take them, was it a matter of a day or two, and they ran to Ferguson to stir up the hate and discontent, as usual. And you know that what the amazing part of it was is they proved that Michael Brown had gone into the officer's patrol car to retrieve the officer's gun to shoot him.
Yep. Oh, yeah, but the facts don't matter.
So exactly. But where are we as a country now? The racial division in this country is incredible, and it needs to stop. But they keep talking and driving home all this crap, and it's nothing more than a damn smokescreen to make us look at the next issue that pops up. And whether we like it or not, the mainstream, lamestream media is running this country.
And Pete, I want to emphasize something you said. It triggered a point that I think is very good on your side. The left just goes from crisis to crisis to crisis, right? And most of it is nothing, right? The collusion with the Russians. What do we waste, 2 years on this stuff? You name it, and it's a crisis, right? I don't want to get into global warming now, right? Although it became climate change. Always from crisis to crisis. The world is falling apart. But as you said, you got a president now who's not letting him get away with this. In fact, I love what he said to the minority community. He said, what do you have to lose? Think about what's been going on the last 20, 30, 40 years.
And you know, Mark, another thing, I knew he was going to win that election, and I'm going to tell you why, and I hope people listening will agree with
this.
Maybe I am wrong.
Yeah.
I've been known to be wrong. We're only human. But the thing about it was, he smoked them all, including Hillary. He smoked every one of them. He smoked them off the stage, basically.
Well,
and this is a guy that has no basic political affiliations. He'd never dealt in politics at all.
Well, thanks, Pete. I appreciate your call very much. Yeah, that's what I said in my opening monologue, kind of. The people respect the fact that finally you got somebody who didn't care about how he came across, just said what he thought, over the top sometimes. I wish he didn't say some of the things write some of the things on Twitter that he does. And I wish he would, I said that, I wish he wouldn't respond to a lot of people, but this guy, you get the whole package. And as part of the whole package, I think he's done a great job. I just gave a partial list. Far better than George W. Bush. And in certain ways, he competes with one of my heroes, Ronald Reagan, because he's done so much. He doesn't even get the credit for a lot of the stuff he's done. And as I said, I don't care what he says. I care what he does. You know, I'm just thinking about on a personal basis, what kind of surgeon do you want? Someone who does a great job for you, or someone that, has a great disposition? Ideally, you want both. But the guy's been terrific in office, and I think he's growing into it even better than I expected. And here's someone else who agrees, but I'd go to disagree too. Marcus in Broad Run, Virginia. You're on with Mark.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm here. Thank you, Mark. And I agree with your last caller. And President Trump did not need this mess. He did not need it at all. He was already a billionaire. He was an elitist. He could have sat up there and not worried about anything. He worried about the people of this country and the direction this country was going. They were going down the socialist path. They were going down, we are going down the wrong path, and he pulled us out. He grabbed us and pulled us out. And the left is going crazy.
You're right.
And he is right when he goes to these, campaign things. What he is talking is absolute truth. Look, I grew up in a Democratic household. I mean, lifelong Democrats. Only time my mother switched was she voted for Nixon back in the 60s because of the anarchy that's going on. And now we got the anarchy again, all against, capitalism. Socialism's good. I got kids in college that agree with socialism. That's
what
they're teaching kids in college now, is socialism is good, capitalism is bad, and we have to change the system. Hey, we're not a racist country. We elected Donald Trump. I go to a black church. I'm a white man. Mm-hmm. And really the Bible teacher, the preacher and his wife and most of the others, are Democrats. Well, they're all Democrats, okay?
Wait, but let's wrap it up. I want to go to that break. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I appreciate your call, just because we got to go to the break. But, I even love his style. He's President Trump. He's pretty funny. He says, you're going to get tired of winning so much. I mean, who would say that? Yeah, he goes over the top, as we said, on his Twitter, his tweets, I should say. But who would ever say something like that, right? He's a character. But he's growing into the job, and I think he's doing a great job. I can't wait for him to be reelected. Although I shouldn't say that. Can you imagine their reaction? I'm talking about the left and the resistance, because they're trying to get rid of him right now. That's why the young man who called me at the beginning of the hour saying, what do you expect is going to be the worst part the next 2 years? I'll tell you what the worst part is. If you guys don't go out there and vote and the Democrats win the House, the Kavanaugh hearings are going to be nothing compared to what they do the next 2 years. That's my biggest fear, and that's what we got to work on. And let me know what you think. 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. Mark Eisler filling in on Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Mark Eisler, back with you again, and let's go to Gerard in DeKalb, Illinois. Gerard, you're on with Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Hi.
Hey, I was just going to say, I'm glad that we actually have a president that everybody can relate to, and he always keeps in contact with us. Like, usually we get a president, they disappear for all 4 years. We never hear hardly anything anymore. But he says what he means. He's doing what he says he was going to do. He hasn't swayed from any of that. And that's important. And they're just upset because we actually proved that we could put somebody who's not a career politician in an office to run our country. because he's going to come back out of there and go back into the public with the rest of us.
I like that.
Every office,
although I just
every office should be run like that.
Mm-hmm. I like that, except for I only disagree in one sense. Obama said too much, and we can't get rid of him. He never stops talking. I wish he would go away, and I have a feeling that's not going to happen. We're going to see more and more. In fact, he's orchestrating some of the, not the protests, but there's an organization he has that he's helping it get funded. So I wish he'd keep quiet. I wish he'd go away. Some of them, that's always been the tradition. They finish as president, and then you don't hear from them anymore. Not in his case, but you're right. Trump says what he means, and he means what he says. And it's different. Even if he says something that's inappropriate, we love the fact that he's out there being himself. Even if himself, using that phrase the way I did, sometimes gets himself in trouble. Let me know what you think. Mark Eisler on Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. It's Red Eye Radio. Talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler. This is Red Eye Radio.
Yeah, it's Mark Eisler back with you again, filling in for the guys this week. They'll be back with you next Sunday night. And the board is filled, but we'll get you in as soon as we can. I love to go to your calls. Here's someone in Toronto, Canada. Dave, you're on with Mark.
Mark, how you doing?
Well.
Sorry?
I said I'm doing well.
Okay, Mark, I want to ask you a question. Can you explain to me the difference between socialism and capitalism?
Sure. In terms of capitalism, you have a free market system, that's what it's called sometimes, where businesses and can start a business, they can close down the business, they can make as much money as they possibly can, and government mostly stays out of it. You have like the antitrust acts to make sure companies don't get too big, and under socialism, the government controls much more of the means of production. They're making the decisions for the people, and not only making the decisions for the people, they control the economy to a great extent.
Okay. Do you think most of your listeners understand what capitalism versus socialism?
They may
because I really don't think a lot of I don't think many Americans really know what socialism. I mean, what socialism is. I think they think for them it's all ism. So it's communism. It could be they have no idea in detail what it is. So for them it's a bad word.
Uh-huh. And how do you feel about
it? Well, I live in Toronto, and I live in a socialist society, and there's the only Toronto is a suburb of the United States. The only difference here is that we are it's a socialist society. Like you said, the government's a part of what goes on more than it would be in a capitalist society. But in terms of Medicare, in terms of housing, in terms of health care, it's a lot better than the system you're living in. I don't know how it would survive on a big scale. You have 350 million people. I'm not saying I don't know how it would do with those numbers, but the numbers we have here, it runs well.
So I have a question for you. Unless I'm wrong, I've heard for many, many years that many people in Canada come to the United States for health care. Is that incorrect? That's not the case?
No, that's accurate. That's correct. But that's because of the waiting time, because remember, you have so many people who are on assistance, so the waiting time is different versus in America, where you pay and then you get to the front of the line.
Yeah, well, when you divide up stuff, when the government gets involved, you find in socialist societies, people, I think an MRI, I heard, not too many months ago, you may wait many months for an MRI, whereas here under free enterprise capitalism, you could go the same day and get an MRI.
I agree. And yes, you can wait sometimes, but you can also, like I said, get to the front of the line. Depends how urgent it is. I think things like kidney transplant, liver transplant, that's a totally different story. But I'm saying on the general stuff, it's not as bad as everyone thinks it is. And I think your listeners have no idea what socialism is. A lot of people, I hear them talk about it on the radio over there in the States, and they have no idea. For them, it's such a bad word that they really have no idea.
You've been very nice to me, but I want to say, for me, it's a bad word because it is never true socialism, and I don't think Toronto has total socialism, and certainly it's nowhere near communism from what I understand. But the idea that the government knows what's best, or that you lose the incentive, you know, under a socialist-type system, you lose the incentive to do a lot if the government's then going to decide what you can do, what you can't do, how long you wait for medical care, what else did you mention. I don't want the government in my life. What made America so special was it's the first time we said that we can figure that out ourselves. And here's a good one for you. You can respond to it, Dave. The government has no money of its own. It just takes from one group of people to give to others. And you may like what they've been doing, but I don't want the government to decide what minimum wage should be, what medical care I can have or can't have, or how long I have to wait. I want to work hard and I want to get ahead, and that's what makes America so special.
Let me ask you one thing. Don't you think a lot of the crimes that are committed in the States, I mean, the numbers for a lot of these cities like Chicago, don't you think a lot of these, the crimes let's say 60% of them have are mental health issues? Some of the stuff I hear that goes on over there are mental health issues. Yeah. Are people who are
some
not medicated?
Yeah, no, maybe some, but you're, yeah. I have an
followed.
Answer for you.
Tell
Let me. Yeah, I don't want to talk over you. Look, we had a riot in Los Angeles not too many years ago, and a lot of people said, and people like you might, and you're very nice. I appreciate dialoguing with you. A lot of people said, oh, these people didn't have the money, that's why they rioted. Well, I always said, if you say those people rioted because they didn't have money, what about the million people that didn't riot? So for me, it's not an economic system, issue. It's a system of values. What are your values? So when you say you have crime there and so on, that's people with bad values, because there are poor people who never steal, who never fight.
Yes, I understand what you're saying, but you can't expect all poor people to act the same, especially when it's generational. So it's 1950, and I watch my dad go for a job, and he doesn't get the job, even though he's qualified, and then he gets disgruntled, and then he comes home, and he doesn't give me the proper attention I need, and then he gets swayed into other things because he's trying to provide, and then I grew up with those same values, and it becomes generational, just like the welfare system. It's right. All generational. I think white America didn't plan. I think they when slavery and everything was put in place, they didn't have a plan for when it was supposed to come out of slavery, and I think that's why there's such the playing field is so unleveled in the U.S.
This is a very intelligent conversation, but there are a lot of issues like not having two-parent families and not going to school and right, that culture is perpetuated, as you were hinting at. Look, it's a great call. I just have a full board. Dave, I appreciate
thing,
it very much.
I want you to think.
Sure.
I like talking to you. I just wanted to tell you one more thing, Mark. You can't cut off somebody's legs and then criticize them about the way they walk.
Right.
I personally, I like Donald Trump. Donald Trump's a businessman. Donald Trump, he knows how to make money. Of course, he's a businessman. I don't know how great of a president he is because, like you said, he tweets too much, et cetera. But I don't think – you know, is the worst of two evils. It's either him or Hillary, and Hillary's no better. You're right about that. But I'm just saying, it's in America, you guys have to look at the big picture, and you can't cut off somebody's legs and then criticize them about the way they walk.
Yeah, I'm not sure I got that in reference to President Trump, but Dave, it's a great call, and you're very articulate, and I wish you the best, and I'll have to come out to Toronto someday and visit your – but I don't want medical care there, right? And I don't want to wait. But in any case, President Trump, in my opinion, has done a great job. So when he says there's not much difference, maybe Trump's a little better. No, I think he's been terrific. I think he's done a great job. I don't think it's close. But as I said, he was pretty good in expressing his point of view. Let's go to Kevin in New York City. Kevin, you're on with Mark.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a retired New York City police officer, and I I worked in the Deputy Commissioner of Local Information Office years ago. I was a police spokesman. And I actually met Donald Trump on Fifth Avenue. At that time, I was in uniform. And we jogged down Fifth Avenue with the Olympic torch. It was going to Atlanta. And I talked to him. I tell you, he's quite a strapping man. Big, he's strong. He's very sharp. Great character. And then a few years later, I don't know, I was a police spokesman. I actually went to the Sea Grill at Rockefeller Center. And he threw a party for the Christmas tree lighting. And it was a mixed bag of people. And I want to tell you, gracious beyond belief. Good man. I have a lot of respect for him. The only thing that people don't understand about him is that he's a little bit unorthodox in his delivery. Because in our business, I did pretty much what you did. I used to speak to the media. You have to be polished. But the media is so vile right now against him that he's trying to even the playing field, and he's beating them. He's actually beating them at their own game. And that's creating the outbreaks. I mean, I'm a veteran of many demonstrations in Manhattan South, and I can attest that what I've seen now, my eyes since I started years ago, we're at a crossroads, big time, with the left. The left has gone haywire. They are total anarchists. They are outright criminals. They are fascists. I think Trump's doing a fantastic job, just like you said. He's unorthodox.
Did you listen?
Sometimes you have to be.
Did you listen to the show last night? Because you're describing it in a different way, but we're in agreement. I think there's a civil war going on with the left versus the right. And
well, I didn't listen to last night's show, no, but I...
You get a demerit for that.
Conflict. I envision conflict. I mean, I was a city cop for... I'm retired 14 years now. But I was in New York City when New York City was under siege. When I got hired, New York City had just gone through many years of non-hiring due to layoffs. Mm-hmm. And it was dangerous, extremely dangerous. I worked in high crime sectors, housing projects. I mean, body counts like you wouldn't believe. It was like urban warfare. And
really?
We used to get mobilized. Get mobilized to Brooklyn.
I was going to ask you, you didn't work in my old neighborhood in Coney Island, did you?
I got sent to Coney Island for a riot in 1985. We got mobilized from Manhattan. It was a citywide task force mobilization. And we got there, and it was absolute mayhem. The boardwalk was on fire. We found cops that were standing there. They were rookie cops, first day out of the academy. Their knife sticks were broken in half. They were missing parts of their uniform. They had mounted coming down there on horseback. All the highway units went. Every single task force in the city went. Absolute
I didn't know
insanity.
That. Yeah, you ruined my day. My old, it was nice when I grew up there, but I guess it's not the same. Hey, thanks for your service.
It's a neighborhood in transition. I used to go there years ago. A friend of mine had a Jewish grandmother who lived in one of those condos, right near the subway station at the end.
Well, most of the people across the country don't know what we're talking about. But, Kevin, thank you for your service, and it brings me back to my childhood in some ways. And speaking of my childhood, I didn't grow up in Long Island, but there's Philip on Long Island. Welcome to Red Eye Radio, Philip.
Hello, sir. Sure. How are you doing today? I know I'm not supposed to ask that, but...
Wait, what do you mean? You can say hi to me. It's okay. Go ahead.
Bob Grant gets mad when you say hi to him. Rasmussen Reports has Trump at 51% approval rating. 25 days from today, on November 6th, Trump will not only hold the House, the Republicans will not only hold the House and the Senate, they will add to their totals. I'm predicting that 25 days before it happens. This is Philip from Bethpage. I don't make mistakes when it comes to this. My brother has a bachelor's degree in political science from State University of New York in Stony Brook, and he's guaranteeing that Trump will gain at least two in the Senate and add to and maybe 10 in the House.
Wow. Well, I got to tell you, I got my political science degree, a bachelor's degree at Brooklyn College. And when I said to the professor one day, or one of us said, it may not have been me, said, what is this political science degree worth? And he said, that and a token will get you on the subway. I never forgot that. But so I don't know if your brother is right. I'd love to take the optimistic view. I don't know if we're going to pick up 10 seats, but maybe he's right. Maybe the blue wave won't materialize, and it'll be – I hate these colors anyway – and the red wave will materialize. 10 seats pickup in the House? No one's predicting that, but who knows? Not many people, although someone, one of the callers, I don't know if it was today or tonight, said, I think it was today, this morning, said he predicted Trump would win. And on Facebook, I had written the morning of the election, I think I see a Trump victory. But I don't necessarily see 10 pickups in the House of Representatives. Sure hope it happens. And I hope it happens that you can get through it. 866-90-RED-EYE, which is 866-907-3339. I'm Mark Eisler, sitting in on Red Eye Radio.
When it comes to proper tire care and maintenance, what can you do to improve fuel economy? Jason Evans is Director of Store Operations for GCR Tires and Service, and he tells us.
Fuel economy is certainly something on the top of everybody's mind. So I think the industry in general understands, is beginning to understand the importance of things like air pressure. But just to throw an idea out there that maybe not all our listeners hear all the time, is check your tread depths. Check your tread depths, particularly on dual wheel positions, where tires are bolted together and essentially forced to rotate down the road at the same speed, because for $2 in your local truck stop, you can find a tread depth gauge. Anything beyond 1/8 of an inch difference, or commonly referred to as 4/32 in the tire industry, between dual positions can really add to rolling resistance. Not only does it add to rolling resistance, it tears up your tires faster, and in a lot of cases, it's a similar condition in terms of a fuel economy as having maybe a brake dragging. That may be a tidbit out there for the listeners to really key in on, because mismatched tread depths on duals can really add to rolling resistance.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. And my number one goal is to pick some good calls here. I had one in mind. They must have gotten offline. Okay, we'll go to someone who's going to give me a hard time. Tom, is that Christmas, Michigan?
Yes, it is. Yep.
Okay. Is it Christmas there all the time? I'm sorry I said that.
It's Christmas all year round. My grandfather founded the place in 1939.
Wow. Well, good for you. Go ahead. What do you want to say?
What I want to say is, an average citizen would have ever done what Hillary Clinton did with the Clinton Foundation. Why aren't they indicted? Why aren't they in jail? My God, this just bothers me so bad. You know, she sold our uranium to Russia. All that money went into the Clinton Foundation, taking this money from all these foreign countries. And what her husband did in office, in the old office, doesn't compare to anything that Trump's ever done. I just can't believe those people get away with that. They're just above the law. It's just the money that holds them there.
I don't know if it's money. As good as President Trump is, actually, I'm happy in a sense that, I don't know, we're hitting a civil war. That's the call I was looking for. Someone was saying, I hope there isn't a second civil war. And I don't know if you jailed her now. She should never be above the law. Nobody is. I agree with you. But can you imagine what would happen in this country? And maybe that's why Sessions hasn't done it. I have enough against him. But to arrest her and put her in jail. I mean, the Clintons deserve it. And I said in the past, if they would just agree to never be seen again, if we can make a deal with them, would you guys just go away quietly? I hate to say this to you, you're going to be upset with me, but it's not that she's above the law. You sometimes have to look at the bigger picture. But they would never do that anyway, right? You can't get rid of them.
Right.
They're like a bad dream that keeps on coming back.
Yeah,
I appreciate your call. Yeah, they won't leave voluntarily, that's for sure. Are you kidding? The Clintons? Well, they're not worse than Obama. You're never going to get rid of him. Let me know what you think. But this hour has been for Freightliner. Run smart, helping run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. And this is Mark Eisler filling in all week on Red Eye Radio. And the guys will be back with you on Monday. So, you know, it's been a pleasure doing it this week, but they're getting a well-deserved vacation.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler.
Yeah, I'm here with you this week, and it's a lot of fun. And let's go to your call. You've been waiting so long. Let's go to Wes in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Wes, you're on with Mark.
Hey, Mark, you're doing a great job. You make a great substitute.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, I think we're in a real state of emergency here in this country with, I think there's, I don't know who it is, the middle of the road independents or the left themselves, the people that can't be educated or think that this country could survive or the Constitution could survive a Hillary presidency or more of the same of what we had for 8 years under Obama. I think we've been given a gift. You were talking about Providence. I mean, Hillary had her balloon suspended in the ceiling and did not get to shower them on her so-called constituency. We were that close to what was supposed to be a lead pipe cinch for her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we gotta take advantage of this opportunity that we have. I mean, I hear people tripping over the fact that Trump is saying things on Twitter that's not appropriate or this or that or the other. To me, he strikes me as somebody that has lived his life financially, making good decisions, and he doesn't need this job. He could be doing anything else with his time. And he has condescended to this country and taken on the responsibility of trying to right this ship. And, you know, what we need to realize is he could be, this is what you can do when you can ascend to the presidency and you're not in the back pocket of multiple corporations or whoever. People say he's an outsider, correct, but he's not beholden to anybody. So he can do these things, and he can bypass the press and talk to us on Twitter and speak his mind directly to us and be a transparent president, something that Obama promised to do and couldn't deliver, and turns out was just more of the same. Democratic crap that we've had for years and years.
You know, I hear the emotion in your voice, and I appreciate your call very much. You're right. He's beholden to no one, and he says what he thinks, and you may have heard me say this. You get the whole package. Is he as sophisticated as the elite would like? Of course not. It's one of the reasons they dislike him so much. But he's getting things done, and as I said, and you seem to share those sentiments, he's doing a great job. I've been more than impressed with him, and I'm thankful for every day he's there. And I don't know if you felt the way I did when he won, and I watched his family kind of come down and celebrate the victory. From day one, I was worried that someone would go after him in some way, and I thank God every day that he's around. I just don't trust the other side, especially in what I'm telling you now. It looks like a civil war. I said it yesterday when we talked about it. So I appreciate your call very much, and certainly your emotions. Let's go to, there was somebody else has a bumper sticker idea. Oh, I got to hear this. Jack in Branson, Missouri, you have a bumper sticker idea. Go ahead.
Yes. As an old billboard sign painter, I feel some level of responsibility to use my craft and my trade skills to communicate. Of course, that's what words are all about. So I didn't get the billboard campaign put together, and I didn't get out the bumper sticker, but I want to share the concept with you and America. And I have heard, it's no secret that, and I've heard previous callers, they're talking about the difficulty of walking down the street with a MAGA hat on and driving down the street Donald J. Trump, our president, and without being mobbed, burned, or all that, horrible violence. But so I have an idea, a concept that I want to share, and it neither comes from a hard left or a hard right. And so we don't have to have this fear of, repercussions of openly saying we support Donald Trump. But my bumper sticker is simply this. It says, vote American. It's stacked. The vote word is large and bold, and underneath it says, vote American. And then on the left, it says 2018. And on the right, it has an American flag. And so, it says so much without having to claim a particular side and without, and I really wish the, I did make some attempt to, I don't know who to get a hold of, but I wish, I write copy. I write, and I think I'd be a great ad campaign writer, but I never know who to get a hold of. But I want to share that with America. Let's get out there. I've been listening to your calls tonight, particularly there seems to be a new enthusiasm and a new momentum going, and that's what we need to be mindful of and aware of and keen to. And I think it'd be a wonderful thing for us to have or share, at least if not on the bumper sticker or on the billboard at this point. It may be too late. I may have to do one that says Vote American for 2020. But what do you think? What do you think of my idea?
All right. I like it, and it's a good sound. The only thing you're missing is the other side's not going to like it, especially the left, because if I'm right, they do not like what America stands for, and they don't like Western civilization.
Secret.
Right. So you're saying that you can
secret.
Do that, and they wouldn't know. You're saying that they wouldn't know it was a Trump, that you supported someone like Trump, but they would.
I don't put a lot of bumper stickers on my car, but I would not have a problem driving down the road with Vote American. And so here you have, it's just so blatantly anti-American. Anyone who would oppose our beautiful, great country and the freedoms that our men have fought and died for, anyone who would oppose America, this is insane that this is an accepted norm nowadays that it's okay to be anti-American. Now, I have to tell you a quick story. I grew up in Southern California in the late 60s. I've been in three riots. Two of them were just because we wanted to play rock and roll in the parks, and the police didn't think that was a good idea, and that would start a riot. But only one of them was a protest against the Vietnam War. But regardless, they turned pretty volatile. You know, a lot of outspoken anti-government folks, you know, spoke up at these, you know, demonstrations or whatever. But the one thing that I try to explain to folks is we might not have been overly supportive of our government. We even disliked our government. But the one thing we never did, and I never did, I never saw anyone burn a flag. Had I probably would have spoke up. But the one thing we did not do was hate America. Or, I mean, we didn't like the government, but we didn't hate our own country.
Yep, and that's significant. It certainly changed that way, that so many people here on the left do not like America or what America stands for. That's why I said your bumper sticker wouldn't fool the left, and they got a real problem with the flag, right? The people have, in that protest in Portland, people with the flag were trying to the prayer group, that's what I, the phrase I was looking for, they try to save the American flag because the Antifa was burning it. So there are people out there, and we call them the left, who do not believe in the values that America stands for. And that's the problem you have. And so your bumper, it's a good idea. I like it, Vote America, but it wouldn't fool anybody. Let me know what you think at 866-90-RED-EYE. But this hour is brought to you by Freightliner. Run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. I'm Mark Eisler, filling in on Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. And I didn't mention it, but this call is appropriate. I love people who disagree, and I wish many more of you would call who do disagree with me. And I think, Christine, in my old neighborhood, Redondo Beach, California, where I started teaching in California, is on the line. Hi, Christine.
Hi. How are you doing?
How are you doing?
Good. I just wanted to say, I know you guys were, I occasionally go on these stations and Fox News, say, and I just want to get the perspective of what's going on the other side. And it's just crazy. It's crazy to me that you guys say that we don't believe, Democrats or people on the left, that we aren't believing in America. We do very much believe in America. I think one misconception that the Republicans have, or far right, is that we want to open up all border walls. We want to just, I mean, just a plethora of things that we want to do. That's not true. And I think that Trump, I can't wrap my head around, and this is what I want to ask you, I can't wrap my head around why people like him. I get it. You're going to stick to your Republican. He's the Republican representative. He's our president. He's for that party. But everything that this man does is not right. It's not correct, and in my opinion. And I'm just wondering how so many people, those people who back him up at any cost, at any any cost. Because, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. First of all, I didn't say Democrats don't believe in America. I'm very clear about saying the left, I don't believes in America. So obviously I know Democrats love America. There's no issue about that at all. But you said we back Trump. In what things don't you like that, you know, we'll at least clarify differences. I'm not going to argue with you. But what do you think he believes in or has done that you don't like so much?
Oh, God, everything. I mean, I really, I can't even believe how he's still in office because
name one thing that you don't like.
Okay, let me just tell you this right quick. I don't get, and maybe you can answer me, I don't know. If he did something, we're not going to find any proof, direct proof, that he had anything to do with the election, like Trump himself. But there was I mean, voter fraud, everything going on. Why wouldn't Hillary be our president if that was the case?
Wait a second. I'm just wondering. You lost me there, Summer. Yeah, no, you lost me, though. I want to answer your question. There's often been voter fraud. That's you can't blame that on President Trump. But the collusion with Russia, there's been zero evidence of that.
Collusion.
This thing has been going on 2 years. So there's been no zero evidence of that. Is that what you're saying about that he was committing fraud?
So how is it that every person he's involved with is going to jail or going to for doing things that have to do with the collusion?
Yeah, so no, there wasn't. All the people that have gone to jail, a lot of them were Russians. When they mentioned this 36, 39, some of these people were Russians having nothing to do with President Trump. But Michael Flynn pleaded not because he had anything to do with the Russians. Paul Manafort, there was some, you know, business dealings he didn't report with Ukraine and so on. None of these things had anything to do with President Trump. Or so you're saying, why all the people, everybody knows, first of all, it's not everybody, it's just we're talking about some people, but none of it was with President Trump colluding with Russia. Let me ask you a question. Do you really believe that he colluded with Putin? I mean, we've had zero evidence of that.
Yes, absolutely. I absolutely do. And I believe they'll have proof of that. And if they don't, it's like with this Kavanaugh thing, too. I mean, going back to that, I don't want to go back to that. But with Kavanaugh, it was a disgrace to say, oh, we believe Kavanaugh 100%. But Ford, oh, we believe her too, but it just wasn't him.
Wait. I'll give you a chance. I may even carry you over. But the fact is that there was no corroborating evidence for anything she said. Would you like accused? Wait, let me finish. Would you like to be accused of something and have no corroborating evidence and then maybe go to jail or not get the job you always wanted? In this country, you're innocent before proven guilty. You gotta have evidence.
Let me tell you, you're asking the wrong person because I was abused and this person's dead in my family. He was a family member. If I were to say right now that this person, and God forbid he was up for the Supreme Court justice, but if he were alive, I have absolutely no evidence because I was a child. This person molested me. I have no evidence. I have two memories
of what happened. I appreciate your call. We got to go to that hard break. But you can't do it without evidence. Otherwise, anybody could accuse anybody. Let me know what you think. Mark, I was there filling in on Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler, this is Red Eye Radio.
And this is Mark Eisler back with you again, filling in for the guys this week. They'll be back with you next Monday morning, Sunday night. And it's been a pleasure doing it. To fill you in, if you're just joining us, we've been talking about, in my opinion, I think President Trump has done a great job. He's going to be reelected. I know he's got some shortcomings, but you take the whole package, and by shortcomings, I mean he says things he shouldn't say and maybe tweets sometimes things he shouldn't tweet. But overall, and I gave the list, I'm not going to go over it again, he's done a fantastic job. And I want to talk about the last caller. I'd rather clarify differences sometimes, asking her, she was a Democrat, and we finished with her saying that she had some issue about sexual assault, and she had no corroborating witnesses. And my point to her was, well, I didn't get a chance, we're hitting the break. It's pretty sad I didn't get a chance to say that to her, but if there are no witnesses, you can't do anything. Otherwise, people could accuse all the time, like Avenatti, I was going to mention, we didn't get that yet, you know, Stormy Daniels lost, and he's the lawyer, and he brought out the Swetnick, or I can't even remember if that's her name, and she thought, what did she accuse him of? They were part of this gang rape, or at least they were there, and it was so preposterous, they actually hurt the case. The other case, Ford's case, against Judge Kavanaugh, because you start to get ridiculous accusations. So That's how it ended, and for those who didn't hear it, and the answer is you can't, in this country, you're innocent until proven guilty, and there was no corroborating evidence against the judge, and that's the way it goes sometimes. You don't have a perfect society. But it did start out with her saying, I can't understand how you guys like President Trump, and they're trying to narrow it down and find out what she didn't like about him, and it looked like she did believe that there was Russian collusion, but there's been no evidence of that. And I'm going to predict now that Mueller's not going to come up with anything on collusion. The only thing left now is obstruction of justice, and even that doesn't seem likely. And then she mentioned the thing, I wish I had her on to, but I think I'm expressing it pretty well, that of all the people around him that were guilty in something to do with collusion, but they weren't. They had nothing to do with collusion. Whether it's Michael Flynn or Manafort, it was other stuff. And Flynn's case is really egregious because the FBI interviews him. He doesn't even have a lawyer with him. And they get him online to the FBI, which is a great point. I would never go through an interview with the FBI anymore. And you don't have to in most cases, I guess, unless they have court documents. Because you then say something and then someone contradicts you later and they can get you online to the FBI. Even if it was your memory was lacking or the other person was wrong. If they want to say you're lying to the FBI, good luck. You're going to have a case now in court against you for lying to the FBI. So a lot of the people around President Trump, or at least the numbers that they mentioned, 34, Leslie Stahl, I think, in the interview, I don't know how many she said to the president, a lot of them were Russians that had nothing to do with him. They were indicted in something in terms of, I guess, hacking or election fraud. I don't even remember myself, but it had nothing to do with the president. He didn't know these people. And this idea of collusion, by the way, when you think about it, remember President Obama saying off mic he thought that, when I get reelected, we'll, I'm paraphrasing, we'll, work it out, or we'll have reset. Maybe that was Hillary who said reset. Yeah, she talked with Russians, too. You can't have diplomacy. That's why even Jeff Sessions, I said, I've been so disappointed in him as attorney general. Why did he recuse himself? He may have had, they go out to these cocktail parties or dinners and ambassadors come up to you if you're a senator or if you're in the government. It's all crazy. For the last 2 years, we've done much ado about nothing, distracting the president from doing the best job he could. For what? What is this all? Where is this all? And now we find out there may be a soft coup that people high up in the Justice Department and in the FBI, not the regular members of the FBI, were trying to get the president, trying to undo the results of the election. So brings me back to where I started, which is I think he's done a great job. He's been a terrific president, better than I ever could have imagined. And I want to know what you think at 866-90-RED-EYE, which is 866-907-3339. So let's go to your calls. Let's go to Mike in Toledo, Ohio. Mike, you are on with Mark.
Thank you very much, Mark. This is an outstanding opportunity. Thousands and hundreds of thousands of people are happy that a balanced, thoughtful guy like you is being the guest host today or tonight. You sure are, I would say, such a balanced, humble speaker. And I wish that Eric and is it Gary would have you on more often, have a panel of two or three of you there. But the guy, you had so many wonderful calls tonight. It has been amazing. And the last caller, I'm glad they squeezed that in too. They had very circular, very condemning. Their reasoning was just little or odd thought patterns, like Rachel Maddow or something. They're trying to educate you on bunk and then say, doesn't that matter? Well, not in America. That's why we have a great system, as you've explained it so well. But even the caller that said, and this is a combination, I'm thinking in remarks I'd wanted to call in for the last hour, the guy that says, yeah, we have to have a billboard or a bumper sticker idea. Yeah, we have to have Trump speak up and do something like JFK said. It isn't what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? Yeah, we have to preserve the republic, vote American. We just can't run this country willy-nilly. It takes a businessman that knows how to produce. And if the opposition had so many shovel-ready jobs and all these kind of concepts in the past, why hasn't anything worked for them? It's very little and very costly, very costly.
It's like the healthcare system they're trying to push on us. It is not health insurance. It's just a program. It's just a plan for a single payer. But I wish some talking heads, think tank guys like you could get together, Mark, and some of Rush Limbaugh's substitute hosts like Todd Herman, Ken Matthews, Mark Eisler, and Rush. I wish Rush would have you on there sometimes. We need a balanced, thoughtful spokesperson like yourself.
You got to tell everybody, you're not in my family, right? You're not a family member.
No, I've never heard you before. I was going to ask you, where can we pick up on more of your hosting abilities?
Are you Mark Eisler Show. Tonight? Yeah, the website. I should say it more often. MarkEislerShow.com, and you can find out where I am next. But thanks so much for your call, Mike. I appreciate it very much. I don't think Gary and Eric need a third person, so they certainly don't want to pay for a third person. But that was very kind of you. And let's go to. Should I do it because of his name? Mark in Pasadena. Mark in Pasadena, California. You're on with Mark.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, you're doing a good job.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny. It's like I'm in the medical field, but it's like to figure out some of those people, you need to have a degree in psychology, I think. But that one girl, I don't know. There's two kinds of liberals. There's the kind that are just kind of ignorant or naive, and then there's the kind that just they don't like the way the country is and they want to change it. And they're both dangerous, but that would be the leftists probably that are the most dangerous ones that want to, you know, that don't believe in capitalism. And
they want to change Trump's the country. Yep, you're right. Yep.
Yeah. And Trump's doing a great job, and if the people don't want to give him credit or they say something about the tax breaks not working, then why don't they just donate the rest of the money, write a check to the government, then give it back to them? And either that or they can move to Canada. So, you know.
No, people have said that. But liberals are the left. I should be clear about that. The left want to use your money for the things they believe in. They don't want to write that check themselves, right? It's just like I talk about illegal immigration all the time, and they say, oh, you know, you can't do that and can't build a wall. But they live behind gated houses, right? Yeah, so what's good for them is not good for us, right? Is a double standard there. So I like your idea. Yeah,
exactly.
You don't see them writing personal checks. Yeah. Hey, thanks very much, Mark, for your call. Although he did suggest that, I missed that we need a psychologist. No, we just had that in Ford, right? She was wasn't she a psychologist? Maybe she was a professor. I can't remember the combination. See, it was yesterday's news. It's over with. Let's go to David in, you're getting into one of the subjects I didn't get to, but I was going to, maybe tomorrow. David in Briceville, Tennessee. You're on with Mark.
Hi, Mark. It's a pleasure to speak with you. This wall, first of all, walls have been used throughout the history of civilized man to keep people out or to keep people in for defensive purposes. And if walls didn't work, why do our high value prisoners kept behind walls? And secondly, the cost of the wall itself would pay for itself in savings of the cost of crime in this country, the cost of court, all the litigation, everything. If that wall was put in place and monitored, that would be cut drastically, and the money that's currently being spent on those activities, in addition to extra law enforcement, it would pay for itself. We wouldn't have to worry about Mexico paying for it. Our savings would pay for it. And the crime rate would go down. Everything would be better with that wall. And I don't know why.
You gotta wonder why does Israel have a wall, right? It works to keep out their enemies.
Walls are a proven defense method. They have to be monitored and reinforced if someone breaches it. But 90% or better of the people who are just walking across the border now would not be able to do so, and would not be able to come in and terrorize our citizens, those that come for nefarious reasons. And I just, it makes no sense to me that someone would even have the audacity to suggest that a wall won't work. It will work, but because of political ambitions of certain leftist groups, they don't want to stop it. And that young lady that spoke earlier is so naive about everything. Even with she failed to mention that there were the very witnesses that Dr. Ford called and said were there. Every one of them denied it happened. These were supposedly her witnesses. I know I got off subject a little, and she does have 2 degrees in psychology, and she is she came across to me as having some real fundamental psychological problems herself.
Did you ever hear? I don't want to pick on her right now, but you've heard a lot of people go.
I'm not afraid to pick on her. I think the whole thing. No, was
I'm
set
not.
Up
Well, I'm not afraid to pick on her, but the point I was going to make is many people say they go into psychology because they've had their own issues, and then they think, I can make money on this. I might as well make money on this.
All of us should be psychologists.
we are in our own way. Thanks, David. I appreciate your call. Let's go. I like this because of what it says here. Let's go to Kim in Verdon, Illinois. I like this. Trump is giving us hope again.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hi, Kim. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I just want to say I listened to the young lady that called in, so I don't take it that she's just a Democrat. I take it she's a socialist Democrat. And how they want to have they don't believe in globalism, but where do they think that we're going to get the money to pay for their basic universal income, the free college, the housing, the health care, that Alexander Ocasio-Cortez is from New Jersey.
Yeah.
She wants Medicare for all. And she wants Medicare for all, and they've proven that would cost us $32 trillion in 10 years. I just want to say that, and I'll try to keep this short because I know you got lots of callers, but I'm one of those deplorable, forgotten people who loves my country, the Constitution, my freedom, my life, and my liberty, my ability to be anything or do what I want. And I was a former Democrat, but I'm from the old Democrats that my grandparents, my parents, and everybody grew up in. Those are not here around her anymore. The children, the millennials and stuff, are the ones that don't understand the history of our country. They need to go back and see how many people died to get their rights to them that they have today. They don't have any idea. And I just want to say, Trump, I had no hope in the last, especially the last 4 years of Obama. And when Trump got elected, I cried because for once I have nothing. I'm about ready to get evicted out of my apartment. I hurt myself and I have no job, but Trump gives me hope. He loves this country. There should be no one that should doubt that. That man takes $1 a year. His whole life has been put on for the whole world to see, and he don't have to do this. That man loves our country, and he is sticking up for the rights. And I don't care if he tweets. Yeah, sometimes he gets into a little bit of argument, but that's his way of talking to us directly. We don't have the news media can't go on and try to twist our minds, but I love this man, and I back him 100% or 1,000% any day, and we got to get out and vote because we cannot let them take over our country, and that's all I wanted to say. Thank you very much. You're great.
And I want to say to you, Kim, never give up. If you don't give up, you'll find that you'll recover your resources and do better because that's what this country provides. 866-90-RED-EYE, same thing as 866-907-3339. Mark Eisler filling in on Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Mark Eisler back with you again, taking your calls at 866-90-RED-EYE, full board. We'll try to get you in as soon as we can. Mike in Herndon, Virginia, you're on with Mark.
Yes, hello. All my friends listen all night long. We're all seniors and veterans, disabled veterans and such. But my problem is that the president hasn't doubled down on Russia, on North Korea, on all these countries and these communists that are, have moved in this country, that have taken over since World War II. America has let their guard down. Now, you have to have your guard up. Donald Trump is doing the best job that I've ever seen a president do in times, especially times like this. Now you and all the other radio talk show hosts and all the people that are, carry the Bibles and that have the gun in their hand and the Bible in their hand and they're Trump followers and that are constitutionalists that are... constitutionalist republic that we have here, believe that life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness is important, and Donald Trump believes it too.
Absolutely. We got to go to that break. He does believe it, and that's what makes such a difference. It's important to understand that about the president. But now your national forecast for Video Road Log.
We've seen the past couple of nights some freezing rain in the area of western Oklahoma, northern Texas, northeastern New Mexico, and southeastern Colorado. But that will likely not be the case today because the moisture source providing that freezing rain has moved off to the east. And warmer weather. For South Texas, we'll see heavy showers today. Those will extend through the Ark-La-Tex region down into New Orleans, areas hard hit by Hurricane Michael. Not necessarily going to be associated with any rain from this front, but could see a pop-up shower or two. Looking for rain for the Mid-Atlantic today, all the way up into the Northeast for New York City and Boston. So that leaves a good portion of the country dry today. The Midwest, the Northern and Central Plains, the Rockies, Pacific Northwest, and West Coast, all under high pressure and clear skies today. There's a look at your national forecast. From Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
And Eric and Gary will be back with you Sunday night, Monday morning. Until then, Mark Eisler for Red Eye Radio.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler.
Yeah, it's Mark Eisler back with you again, taking your calls. Just want to throw out one of the stories that was in the news today. So Michael Avenatti has lost another one, huh? Stormy Daniels, if you haven't heard this, libel lawsuit over a tweet by Donald Trump accusing her of a total con job was thrown out by a judge who said the president was engaging in free speech. The adult film star's real name is Stephanie Clifford, claimed she was threatened by an unknown man in Las Vegas parking lot in 2011 for agreeing to cooperate with a magazine article about a tryst she said she had with Trump in 2006. After a lawyer released a composite sketch of the man, Trump accused Clifford in an April tweet of a total con job concerning a non-existent man. And what did the court decide? They agree with Mr. Trump's argument because the tweet in question constitutes rhetorical hyperbole normally associated with politics. So they lost. And Avenatti has been losing lately, which he should. Of course, he says, we'll appeal the dismissal of the defamation cause of action and are confident in a reversal. I love this quote. Listen to this quote. There's something really rich in Trump relying on the First Amendment to justify defaming a woman. No, it's really rich when you talk about defamation after what you and your client did to Judge Kavanaugh. Don't you love it when history is upside down? Anyway, the judge awarded Trump reasonable attorney's fees also. And his lawyer said no amount of spin or commentary by Stormy Daniels or her lawyer, Mr. Avenatti, can truthfully characterize today's ruling in any way other than total victory for President Trump and total defeat for Stormy Daniels. And he didn't add her lawyer. Boy, would I love to see him get the Democrat nomination for president. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow, ask you who you prefer to get the nomination. But here's someone who disagrees with me. Let's see if I can find him again. Yeah, Rob in Boise, Idaho. Rob, you're on with Mark.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm just happy to instill some common sense into the show. I think Trump is absolutely abhorrent. I've got a laundry list. I won't go through them all, but the barbaric handling of the immigrant children, disgusting. There's a YouTube video I've seen. And believe me, don't believe me. It's been taken off of YouTube. He was on a talk show years ago, I believe it was David Letterman, where he said in his smug, arrogant way, "I'm very, very intelligent, so of course I'm an atheist." He's not a Christian. He's a Christian.
Hold on. I'll give you a chance. But you said something that hit me right away. So the barbaric treatment of immigrant children, first of all, they're not immigrant children. They're illegal immigrant children. Let's call them the way it is. And I don't know why it's barbaric to say that you have certain rules and laws and ways of getting in a country, and if you don't come in that way, then we can't accept you. What's barbaric, maybe, is the parents bringing the children here. They're responsible for the families being separated and broken up. So I don't think he's being barbaric. You would probably call me barbaric just because I want some rules and I want some procedures in terms of sovereignty. Why is that barbaric?
I don't care who the children belong to. The handling was barbaric, and if it was your child, you'd be singing a different tune.
No, I wouldn't. No. You don't get to go on. You don't get to go on if you don't give me a chance when you say something so absurd. If it was my first, I wouldn't bring my child up here if I knew they could be separated from me. I would do it in the first place. So don't tell me what I would do. I'll give you your chance. But don't try to read my motivation or my mind. These people, I don't blame them from trying to get away from terrible conditions, but there are rules and there are procedures, and it's not barbaric to say if you do that, we have certain laws and rules and procedures how we handle this. Go, your turn.
Explain how a federal judge put a stop to it. It is barbaric, whether you want to say it is or not, the way they handled it, not necessarily doing it in the first place. Separating the children, I don't agree with that, but if you want to go with the separation being warranted, it's the way they handled it. Let's just say, for instance, I'll be real quick. I took my kid to Chuck E. Cheese recently. I had a bracelet that said 123, for example, and my child had a bracelet that said 123. That way, when I was able to leave, they verified the bracelets, and I was able to go on my way. They could have done something similar, but they didn't do anything. So you've got children
that you don't know really who's parents.
It was done in a half-butt way.
First of all, it's an unelected judge, so you were trying to prove something by the judge as if the judge, he knows what's best and what's best for the country and what's best for the rest of us. He never got elected to anything. But leaving that aside, the parents shouldn't be bringing these. That's what I would do. You said you would do the same thing if it was your kid. No, I wouldn't bring my child up if I knew they could be separated from me. And once knowing that, I just wouldn't do it in the first place. They're the ones responsible for this. Yeah.
You misunderstood me. If you had taken those routes or that route and your child was ripped from you and taken from the border and put in some concentration camp and a dog kennel in Pennsylvania.
You would be mentally tortured. You're just giving an awful name to what happened to the Jews and others who were put in concentration camps. These were not concentration camps. They weren't close to.
Yeah. Have you seen the footage where they were visited? They were not humane to house children.
Yeah, well, I didn't. That's not my impression.
One point. I have on
go Trump. To number two.
Okay,
I'm going to give you some more time. Go ahead.
Okay, please. There was a press briefing he had recently. Okay, it was 7 minutes and 34 seconds long. He said the word "very" 25 times. Now you might be like, "Why are you bringing this up?" He talks like a used car salesman. If you just listen to his speeches, everything is very, 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 very. That's
it
how
doesn't. Wait a second. Yeah,
that's
wait. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher, and I think I have pretty good grammar. I don't care if he has the Queen's English, the King's English, sorry. I don't care about that. I care about what he does. You're picking him saying very 26 times. You sound like all the elitists. You're putting him down because you're so much more sophisticated than he is.
That's my point.
No, that doesn't prove he's a charlatan because he says very 25 times. It proves he has a problem maybe with the language. He doesn't speak as well as you do.
When you go buy a used car, the man doesn't say, it gets decent gas mileage. It gets very good. He speaks in those ways, very and awesome and great. His speech pattern is
picking
is
on
that
a speech
of a used
pattern?
Car salesman.
So, and now you're putting down used car salesmen. They provide a valuable function. I wonder what you'd be like if you were, you know, you picked on me. What if your daughter was a used car salesperson? I mean, what are you saying? You're picking on him because of his language, because he didn't go to Harvard or something? What are you saying?
The man went to he had a decent education, but he talks like a third grader.
Jeez. And what did Ford do? I mean, come on. These are not important and relevant things. You know what? And I'll say this with all
due
respect.
In,
you must care.
Totality,
let me finish.
Let me finish.
Let me finish. You know, I have a pretty high education. I don't have a PhD, but I have a master's degree. But I don't care about intelligence as much as wisdom and what people do with their lives. And he's done a pretty good job. Pick on something he's done as president, besides it was barbaric the way the kids were treated. You haven't done it? Very, very. That's what you're picking on? That's what you're getting him on? You sound like the elitists.
It is rushed. Tax bill, okay? First of all, everything that he does is rushed, okay? But his tax bill...
But I love the tax bill.
Let me finish my statement.
Sure.
I'll be very quick. The thing that really irks me is the sunset clause on the majority of the tax breaks for the middle class. It was done
but they've changed that.
To, in my opinion, largely help his rich friends, not the average American.
Oh, jeez. By the way, they corrected that. As far as I know, the House corrected it, so there isn't a sunset provision. So I think you're wrong about that. But to benefit his rich friends. How about the fact I like it, and I'm not rich? I love the fact that, you know, the fewer regulations we have, the more you get to keep more of your own money, because it's not the government's money. I love what he's done.
Oh,
I don't
like,
care that
like,
he says
like
very 25
the,
times.
Like losing the tax deduction on your, what is it? I believe it's on your property tax, or there's some.
No, you didn't lose it.
That was pretty.
You got no, Rob. You got to know your facts. You didn't lose it. It just has a limit of $10,000, whatever it is.
Okay, I'll give you that. I'll grant you that.
Okay, wait, that's worse than very, very. Absolutely. Hey, Rob, would you do me a favor? You want to call back again during the week? I'll look forward to it.
Absolutely.
So you get your third, fourth, and fifth point. Because he didn't do that great. Very, very. I got to remember that because he said very 25 times. Right there. You ought to impeach him for that. Let's see. Brian, my producer, suggested that. Is that a high crime? I think it's a misdemeanor. I don't think it's high crime, but I think you get him on a misdemeanor for saying 25 various. All right, let me know what you think. It's Mark Eisler filling in on Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Mark Eisler back with you again, taking your calls whenever one frees up at 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Indoraville, Georgia. Daryl. Daryl, you're on with Mark.
Hi, Mark. What I got to say is that your last caller and a young lady before earlier tonight are typical people who, amongst my peers, I've noticed that they hate Trump so much that they're incoherent. They can't really articulate why, but and the reasons they give sometimes prove the other people's point. Like mine, when he was talking about the immigration, they're not immigrants, because Dinesh D'Souza said it right. He's an immigrant because he came here legally. When I serve, I married my wife overseas. I got mad when I see people coming over here
after I have to pay all that money and go through hoops to get her over here, and have people jump in front of the line because they came here because of their geographic location. I mean, people got to realize America is a country of laws. And this man here is trying to make sure the laws are enforced and the Constitution's followed. And the problem is we got people who have been benefiting from the law being broken, and a Democratic Party who wants to make sure that it stays broken, because just recently our the woman running, Stacey Abrams, who's running for governor, she admitted she wanted more illegal aliens, or as she called them, undocumented people to vote. I mean, this is ridiculous. What about us American
admitted
citizens?
She admitted it, huh?
She's on video. Yeah, she admitted. They were on Fox News. You can go back when Steve Doocy interviewed Brian Kemp. They showed the video. And I'm a truck driver, so I can't watch it all the time because I'm at work. I work right now. I worked in early morning shifts in the morning. But I'm telling you right now, I believe in what the president's doing. That's why I voted for him. I don't think he's a racist at all. As a matter of fact, as a black man, I remember it was about maybe like 15, 16 years ago, the NAACP gave him an award. How come you hear all these other people calling him a racist, but how come you don't hear them speaking up and saying he is, but they won't even defend him either? Because it's convenient, I think, for people to just put a label on people without any proof.
That's right.
You know, it's just ridiculous. And he's done more for this country than the last president did in 8 years. And I'm going to tell you right straight out, Obama was the worst president ever.
And you'll be surprised.
People may not
want
to
see. Yeah, you may be surprised to know you haven't heard me because I've been on a number of years, but until recently not back on this network. I feel the same way. I think President Obama is the worst president we've had in our history, certainly in my lifetime. He did more damage, and he started by apologizing for the greatest country in the history of the world. He was apologizing, going on an apology tour. I agree
with
you.
Yeah, I remember in kitchen and bowing before a Saudi king, which is ridiculous. I mean, but I like what Trump alluded to in his speech a couple weeks ago in the U.N., what I got out of this speech was one of the things, he didn't exactly say it, but what I took from it, when he said it's going to make America great again, he was letting the people know, why don't you make your country great again and make it a place that people wouldn't want to leave? You know,
exactly.
You don't have to worry about that.
Why don't you follow what we've done that works so well, right? Free enterprise, little regulation, limited government. Why don't you try that for a while, guys, and see how it works in your country, right?
Exactly, and going back to the immigration, the way the guy said the kids were treated, those policies was put in place long before Trump became president.
That's right.
And as a matter of fact,
right?
a lot of those kids coming across, they're may not even be those so-called adults, children. They can just grab somebody and walk across. We saw it on the videos with some of the people from Syria were just picking kids up, walking across the border, demanding to get into some of these places, and they didn't even belong to them. So you don't know who these people are. And Mexico, as a matter of fact, treats the people that come across their borders illegal, be it from Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Guatemala. They treat them like garbage, and they're very harsh to them. And so,
hey,
Daryl, we
got to go. But thank you, great call. Appreciate it very much. Let me know what you think. 866-90-RED-EYE. Mark Eisler filling in on Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.